Jeff, I'm not aware of any song that would have been better to have chosen today than the one we just sang. Even in times of illness, when there's death, and when we have problems, if we're on the Lord's side, we can still say and sing, "It is well with our soul." I did forget two things in the announcements. We got a good report from Dolores Brandon's test this past week, and we're thankful for that. And Jacob Brandon was in an accident. He was snowboarding in West Virginia, and a tree jumped up and hit him. And he was in the hospital for a while with a concussion, but the news we got a few minutes ago is that everything's going to be all right, and we're thankful for that. On Sunday mornings, we have been in a series of lessons dealing with understanding the Bible and what it is. We had a lesson of what is the Bible, one on the Bible is the Word of God, one on the importance of the Bible. We'll have one on the power of the Bible, rightly dividing it in other lessons. This morning, I want to bring a lesson based on some verses in the first chapter of James that we're calling a good Bible student. It is important for each one of us to be a student of God's Word. Whether we are reading from the Bible for ourselves, or we are listening to someone else read it or discuss it, it is important to be a good student. We cannot learn unless we're willing to listen. There can be no teaching unless there is learning. And so at the same time that it is appropriate for us to talk about the idea of teaching and preaching and those of us who do that, it is also important to talk about listening and being a good Bible student. In the first chapter of James, in verse 18, we're told that we're begotten by the word of truth. That's talking about God's word. Later in the chapter, he talks about that which is perfect is going to come, the perfect law of liberty, and we are to continue therein. I believe he's talking about God's word and God's message there. In between those two verses, and really including a portion of that last verse, there are seven things mentioned that I believe can help us to be good Bible students and to understand what's involved in studying the Bible in a better way. Notice as we begin verse 9, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." There's three of the points in that verse. First, he says, let every man be swift to hear. Sometimes we listen without hearing. Sometimes we may hear the words without really hearing the words. I may be listening to you, and I know that you are speaking, and probably if asked later, I could tell a little bit about what you said, but my mind is somewhere else, on something else, and I'm really not listening to what you are saying. I would almost guarantee that every one of us has had that experience even in the relationships that we have in the family. Sometimes a child will hear everything that's said and really not comprehend what is said. Sometimes husbands and wives talk to one another and neither of them really hears what the other is saying, although there is the awareness that something is being said. And maybe if questioned later, it could repeat back what was said, but you really didn't hear it in the sense of digesting it. I think that happens when it comes to the Word of God. Sometimes when someone is speaking from this pulpit, we may know that there is speech being made, there are words being said, and yet we may not listen, and we may not really hear Jesus said in Matthew 13:15 that there were people who hearing hear not, and seeing they see not, neither do they understand. I grew up with a house that was heated by fireplaces. We burned wood and we burned coal. I have never found anything that's more relaxing to me than to sit in a rocking chair in front of an open fire. If I had my druthers just to sit down and relax, that would be my choice. In fact, I have bought me a little fireplace, electric fireplace. It's about that wide and about that high. Very small, but it has a nice flame in it. And especially in the wintertime, I sit down in my chair where I can see that and turn it on, and I just sit there and imagine that I'm in front of a big open fire. And I say that to say this. There's been many a time when I was sitting in front of the fire, looking right at that fire and not seeing that fire, because my mind was somewhere else. The fire was making a popping noise, but I didn't hear it. Even though I heard it, I didn't hear it, because I was not really listening. I was not really hearing what was going on. Mark 4:24 says, "Take heed what ye hear." And Luke 8:18 says, "Take heed what ye hear." Someone said, and you've probably heard this before, that when we are in an assembly like this and listening to a sermon or a lesson, we need to bring a rake with us instead of a pitchfork. Too many people bring a pitchfork and reach over and punch somebody else and say, "You need to listen." And many times I've had people go out after the lesson and jokingly, I think it was jokingly, say, "Preacher, you really told them today, didn't you?" Whereas we really need to bring a rake and reach out and rake it up to self and apply it. There are some preachers I'd rather hear preach than others. There are some lessons that have meant more to me than others. But I think I can honestly say that I have never sat and listened to anybody present anything from the Word of God but that I could get something out of it if I would listen and really hear what was being said. Let every man be swift to hear. Sometimes it's not easy to get our minds clear of the things that are going on, especially when we're having those difficult times. And yet it would be good if each one of us, when we come to a lesson or we come to worship or we're in a Bible class, if we could clear our minds and concentrate on what's being said. Listen, I have seen people, a few times at least, almost lean out on the front of the seat and looking right straight at me when I was talking. And I've seen people that slumped down and maybe went to sleep and weren't hearing anything that was said. A good Bible student is swift to hear. Then he says, slow to speak. If there's any point in this that I need, it's this one. I think I can identify with the Apostle Peter more than any of the other apostles. Peter was one that no matter what was happening, he was always ready to say something about it. And I'm a lot like that. Yet he says we need to be slow to speak. Proverbs 10:19 says, "He that refraineth his lips is wise." Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Be not rash with thy words, let thy words be few." And I especially like to emphasize the latter part of that when I'm talking to preacher students. Let thy words be few. You don't have to talk all day to say something. And I try to apply that. We need to be slow to come to conclusions when we're listening to other people talk. And I have in mind here more so conversations between us and amongst us than I do listening to a sermon. You and I are listening to one another, talking to one another. If we're not careful, we'll draw our conclusions about what the matter is really is, or the truth really is, before we listen to everything that is said. I find myself, if I'm not careful, while you are talking to me, thinking about what I'm going to say when you hush. And sometimes don't wait until you hush. He says we need to be slow to speak. In fact, something that may be related to this is indicated in Acts 17:34, where it is said that some said, "We will hear thee again on this matter." Which means that if we're listening to something and we don't really understand it, that before we start talking about it and making conclusions about it, we need to be willing to hear again and to understand it better. That may be involved in being slow to speak. And then in the third place, he says, slow to wrath. Ephesians 4 says, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Be ye angry and sin not." I think recognizing that there is a time that any of us could have feelings of anger, and recognizing that Jesus was angry at the money changers and maybe on other occasions at things that were wrong, we can conclude that it's not necessarily wrong to be angry, to have feelings of wrath. But our wrath needs to be controlled. I think that's emphasized especially in that statement. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Take care of the things that need to be taken care of today. One man said he and his wife never did go to bed mad at each other. And then he smiled and said, "Sometimes we stay up all night, but we never go to bed mad at each other." I have advised and continue to advise, never leave home angry with each other. I know what it means, and I've shared this with you before, but I conducted a funeral service for a 19-year-old man who got in an argument with his wife, jumped up, ran out of the house, got in his car, had a wreck, and killed himself. Which means the last memory that she had of that relationship was the argument that they had. We need to be slow to wrath. We need to keep our attitudes right. And I'm going to tell you that if you come to a service like this and you're harboring bad feelings in your heart toward other people, you're angry at other people, it's not going to be easy for you to listen to anything that's said or done. I think this is good advice that's given here, slow to wrath. So three things in that verse. He says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now verse 21 gives another one. Wherefore, lay apart or lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now that's a sentence with some big words in it. But let's break it down into a simple statement. He says there, lay aside your sin. Get rid of your sin. Get rid of your problems. If you're living in sin and you are not sorry for it, you're not penitent for it, you're not doing anything to make it right in the sight of God, is it going to be easy to sit down and take His Bible and read about the message of God with that attitude in your heart? If you come to a service like this and you're living in sin, it's not going to be easy for you to listen to the Word of God and apply what it says to you. Matthew 5, Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar, this was under the old law, but it was dealing with worship. If you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift there and go and make things right with your brother and then come back and offer your gift to God. By no stretch of the imagination did he say you shouldn't worship God, or you should put off worshiping God and never do it. But he said if there's something in your life that you need to take care of between you and somebody else, then do that and then you'll be better able to worship God. Which, when applied to what we're talking about today, says if you will get your life and your relationships and your attitudes right with other people and with God, then you will be ready to worship, including listening to what God has to say. Hebrews 12:1 says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You may have watched track and field on television, including the 100-yard dash or the longer run that they make. You may have noticed that in warming up or in practice, a lot of those runners will have weights around their ankles. They will practice with the weights, and then just before the race, they take those weights off. I think that's the idea that's involved here. We're going to run the race, but before we run the race, we need to lay aside the sin and the weight which does hold us back and so easily beset us. Now, we will not live a perfect life. We will never be perfect. But we can live a faithful life and lay aside our sins, receive forgiveness for them, and learn to accept that forgiveness. We will be better able to worship and to listen to God's word. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying, that's the laying aside, denying worldliness and ungodliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Before we can live godly lives and worship God in an acceptable way, we've got to lay aside those things that hold us back. And so he says, a good Bible student is going to lay aside that which is sin. And in that same verse, he continues the sentence, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Notice receive and notice meekness. Receive means to have that open attitude, that open mind, to receive what is being said. When Peter came to the household of Cornelius in Acts 10 at verse 33, Cornelius said, we're all here gathered before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. In other words, Peter, tell us exactly what God wants us to know. We're ready to listen. In Acts 17:11, the people in Berea are said to be more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's an open mind. That's readiness to soak it up. You have a sponge and you put it down where there's water, and that sponge will soak up that water. Or a good paper towel will soak up that water or that liquid. I think that's the image that is here, that we need to be like that. We need to be ready to receive the word of God and to soak it up as it is read or as it is presented. Receive with meekness. That attitude of meekness carries humility with it, recognizing that we don't know everything and we do need God's instructions. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. And then he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. There are people in existence today who could almost quote the Bible who don't live by the Bible. And I'm sure you know people who know a lot about God's word, but they're not living the Christian life. He talks about hearing, he talks about listening, he talks about soaking it up. And then he says, do it. Get out and practice it. I submit to you that there is nothing that will help you to remember a specific passage of Scripture any better than living that passage or the idea that's in that passage in your life. I guess down through the years that I have heard this following statement in closing prayers as much as any statement. Father, help us to take the things that we have heard today and apply them in our everyday life. How many times have you heard that? That's a good statement. Help us to take the things that we've learned today and apply them in our daily lives. One man told his friend that the preacher where he went preached one of the best sermons he'd ever heard 2 weeks ago. He said, what was the title of it? He said, I don't remember. What was his text? I don't remember. How can you say that is the best sermon you'd heard, you don't remember the title, and you don't remember the text? He said, well, I own a grocery store, and I had my scales set just a little off center. And I had some magazines and books in the rack there that were not appropriate. And after that sermon, I went and set my scales straight up and got rid of those magazines. You think he got the message? You think he was listening? You think he heard? He didn't necessarily remember the title. He didn't necessarily remember the text. But he got the message to where he could apply it in his life. Some of the greatest compliments that I've ever received on preaching down through the years has been one or more where a person comes back to me and says, the sermon that you preached helped me to straighten out some things in my life, or helped me to be a better person. To me, that's the greatest compliment that a preacher can receive. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. God is going to look at what we do. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. How call you me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Well, that's six of the seven things that we have mentioned. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, lay aside sin, receive the word, and be doers of the word. And there is a seventh one that may sort of be a summary of the others and one of the most meaningful points to me. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face, in a glass or a mirror. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, I'll admit that some of us, when we look in the mirror, might like to forget what we see. But this is a spiritual setting. He looks in the mirror, he sees himself for what he is, and then he goes away and he forgets what he saw in the mirror. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's God's word, that's the mirror that we're looking into spiritually, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I would sum up what's said in those three verses in one word: sincere. Sincerity. I don't think there is anything that I dislike any more than a hypocrite. I'm as honest as I can be. I have more respect for a person who disagrees with me but stands for what he believes than I do someone who says he agrees with me and then is from side to side and you never know where he's standing. There are few things that are more important in Christianity, and as we apply it today in being a good Bible student, than being sincere. You know what the word veneer means? You may have a piece of furniture at home that's solid oak or solid cherry or solid wood. That means it's solid. There's no veneer on it. But you may have a chest of drawers or a dresser that's veneered. I remember having had that. Usually the cheaper furniture is not solid. What's done is they'll take a piece of wood that's not really what it ought to be as far as looks are concerned. Then they'll put a little veneer over it and glue it and give it a shiny surface. And it looks good. But usually the corners begin to break. And you'll see down at the bottom and at the corners at the top that that's beginning to peel back because it's not the real thing. It's not solid. That's the way we can be as people. If we're living our lives trying to look shiny with just a veneer on the outside without being what we should be on the inside and being deep to the core what we should be, we'll have problems. But if we are sincere, each one of us is who he is. You see what you get. That's going to help us to listen to the Word of God and apply it in our lives. Look into that mirror and look at yourself. Quit trying to be somebody else. Learn from other people. But quit trying to be somebody else. Try to be yourself before God and to be the best of yourself that you can be. Be sincere from the outside in and from the inside out. And it will help you to be ready to study God's Word and to understand it and apply it as much as anything I know. I believe these are some of the basic principles that we need in being good Bible students and having the right kind of attitude toward the Word of God. Look at your life this morning. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you have not repented of your sins and been baptized for the remission of sins and need to do that, we'd be glad to help you. If you are a Christian and you haven't lived as you should and need to ask for forgiveness and prayers of the church, we'd be glad to help you with that. If there is a